The meeting to order at 6:14. Just a little bit of housekeeping chores. If anyone has any electronic devices, we would appreciate if you would turn them off during the meeting. Thank you. I'd like to call for a moment of silence, please. And if we could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we could have roll call, please.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Charlie Hawkins and Bonnie Onion have both requested to be excused tonight.
I'll entertain a motion for Bonnie.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion was carried 5-0. I'll entertain a motion for Charlie Hawkins.
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. First item on our agenda is audience participation. We have two individuals who have signed up to speak this evening. We'd like you to come forward and state your name and address for the record, please. Janet Pickard. Janet, would you please state your name and address for the record, please?
Janet Picard, 733 Adelia Street, Blaine. I would like to say that we had quite a few people in our neighborhood who were interested in these topics, and we encouraged, instead of everybody getting up and saying the same thing again and again and again, that we create some letters to you and have people sign their names supporting that letter. I'd like to give over the floor to Garth Baldwin to read one of the letters, if I may.
Okay. Garth, we will need you to state your name and address for our records, please.
My name is Garth Baldwin. I live at 1350 Garfield Avenue in Blaine.
Yes, sir.
This letter is concerning city budgeting toward downtown beautification. Mr. Mayor, city council members.
Garth, I know you don't hear this very often, but you actually have to speak up.
Into the microphone.
Alrighty then. That is something I do not hear, particularly from my fellow board members. Beautification and the image of our city has been recognized priorities over time. We have a realistic opportunity to work towards those goals before us, and as concerned citizens, we ask that you budget funds to address derelict buildings in our downtown. There is a current need for funding of administrative costs associated with enforcing maintenance and removal of derelict buildings. Absent or unwilling property owners need to address the issues created by their derelict or abandoned land and structures. Some properties have been allowed to languish in disrepair, becoming public health and safety risks, and in some cases provide host to criminal activity. Having unsafe and unsightly structures raised and land cleared of illegal dumping and uncontrolled vegetation is simple good housekeeping within the community. The community trusts the city to enforce ordinances and regulations that benefit everyone in our city. As citizens and members of the Blaine community, we urge the council to implement city ordinances and have derelict structures removed. We ask that the council set aside funds in next year's budget to begin measures to clean up and a specific building downtown. As a solid place to start, ensure that the owner of the building at 665 Peace Portal Drive, the old restaurant that's down there, is given the opportunity to address public concerns for the structure or to have the city move to raise the structure. The back wall of the building is collapsing and there's mold, rodent activity, and plant growth inside the building. The unpleasant and unhealthy odor is noticeable on the sidewalk outside of the building. It has been condemned and should be removed. And we understand the need to be responsible with the limited amount of funds coming into this city. We also believe the repair or removal of this building will bring long-term value, improving the safety and image of our downtown. And in an added note, other communities like SeaTac had a problem with derelict structures and started the process and asked the landowners to do something about it, and if they don't, send them a bill. But thank you for your time.
Okay. Right. Do you have a letter there?
We do have a letter.
Would
we have
you
signatures
be
that I'll
kind
bring.
Enough to hand
we have
to
22 signatures.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate your comments. Next is it, I'm going to mispronounce it, Ann? Ann? All back. Ann, would you please be able to be kind enough to give us your name and address for the records, please?
I'm Ann Ballback, 963 Blaine Avenue, and I have a letter also. This is from the Blaine Parks and Cemetery Board members, and I made a copy for everyone that I can.
Sherry, did you get a copy?
She will provide me a copy.
This letter is in regards to the city parks budgeting. Mr. Mayor and City Council members, Blaine's parks play a critical role in the city's image and enhance the overall experience of our visitors and citizens. As concerned citizens and members of the Blaine Parks and Cemetery Board, we ask that council budget adequately to keep our parks looking their best. Our parks have enjoyed attention recently with the dedication of the children's playground at Marine Park, as well as the Marine Park shoreline projects. And we thank the city for their support of these projects. Our concern is that existing facilities may deteriorate from a lack of maintenance. In the past, temporary summer staff have been assigned to maintain parks. However, they are often reassigned to other duties. When staff is reassigned and money allocated to other things, the play equipment, picnic tables, benches, and fall protective surfaces such as wood chips deteriorate and fall into disrepair. It is our duty as Parks Board members to report and recommend to the city staff for management, control, improvement, and beautification of all our public squares, parks, and recreation facilities owned by the city. The wood chip surface in Salishan Park is in very poor shape. There are deep ruts from where the kids are playing on the swings. In some location, the landscape fabric is exposed and becoming dislodged, and the surrounding edges of the playground is also falling apart. The board has reported this ongoing maintenance issue for the past year with no resolve except to be told there is no money in the budget. This is only one of our city parks that requires attention. Other issues system-wide include picnic benches in such deteriorated conditions that they are rotting out of their own hardware. Park signage is old or simply absent. And there is a need for more vegetation control. Invasive species of plants threaten to overtake many areas of our parks. In summary, we ask that the council consider, one, designating an amount of money that would ensure that street and parklets are made more welcoming by signage, benches, and trimming the vegetation to open up the views, and two, ensuring that there is city staff and funding dedicated to park needs during the entire year, and particularly in the summer months to maintain the existing parks. With all respect, the Blaine Parks and Cemetery Board members.
Thank you, Ed.
And I have included a second page that just shows what the Parks and Cemetery Board have gone to different parks in Blaine and just wrote some issues that that need to be taken care of. And then we also have 19 signatures in favor of this.
Okay. On behalf of the council members, let me express our appreciation for your comments.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Sherry, do we have any written communications?
We did receive an email from John Urich. It was dated November 22nd regarding playground security.
Okay. And will he receive a response?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to actually
just address that real quickly?
Certainly.
Mr. Yurak's email touches on three key points. One is, the first is dogs off-leash and not being, not having responsible owners who clean up after them. And that was one of the sort of ongoing issues that he had pointed out should have better enforcement. He actually suggests the idea that we have some sort of a call box and a camera there to observe that, so people have the greater ability to report that. We won't be putting in a call box. That doesn't seem like a feasible option. However, I would point out that I, for one, have a call box in my pocket, and I would imagine that about 90% of us or more do, so people can always call 911 and report dogs that are off-leash. It is an ongoing problem, not just in Marine Park. It's on our city streets. It's in our parks. It's in my neighborhood, and I don't live in the city. It amazes me. As a dog owner, it amazes me. But the other item was playground security. He asked if we intended to put in, what kind of playground security we have, and if we were intending to put in a camera. We have actually started to look into the cost of that, not associated with this email, but we don't anticipate putting in a camera. And the security at the playground would be the same as the security is in Salishan Park and Kilmer Park and the rest of Marine Park and in your neighborhoods and in our downtown. It is the responsible citizens who live here and visit here, and of course our police department. And the other key item in his letter was related to bathrooms, and he found that the bathrooms were closed, which that is correct. They are seasonal, and that the porta potty that was there was not up to standards. It was not clean enough, which is not surprising, honestly, because there's been a tremendous turnout of people visiting the park, and we've been blessed with some really nice sunny days lately, which is a little unusual this time of year, and we're going to have nice sunny days over Thanksgiving. Regarding the restrooms, what I wanted to mention, and it's great, I'm glad we have some people in the room so that they can be aware of this. The restrooms in the wastewater treatment plant, the ones that are there adjacent to the playground, are plumbed with reclaimed water. So the toilets flush with reclaimed water. We are only licensed by the state to generate reclaimed water, utilize it, from May through September. So on the beginning of October, we have to turn that off. We can't keep producing it.
Michael, is there any way that that can get changed?
Absolutely. With enough money, you can change anything. I'll address that in just a moment. So that is, we don't close those bathrooms just because we think it's a good idea to close them. We are not able to flush the toilets, so obviously the bathrooms need to not be open. Now, if that weren't the case, and if we replumbed them, which is potentially feasible, then there would be the ongoing cost of maintenance and heating and those kinds of things. So it's doable, but there's a cost related to that. So we're looking into that. We've gotten a preliminary estimate on what it would cost to replumb the bathrooms to use potable water in flushing the toilets. And we also, of course, need to be very careful and look at what effect would that have on the wastewater treatment plant. You need to be very clear about what line we're taking it from and that there are adequate protections and that kind of thing. It's not your typical water supply down there. There are a lot of things happening in that building, but we're investigating that.
I'm still confused why the state's saying that you can only use that reclaimed water from this month to this month.
Yeah, or I don't know. I don't have the information on all the specifics to that. As you know, I'm not the operator, but that is correct. This, our state license is for utilization, like distribution of that water during that time frame. I can't explain. I have a feeling I know where you're going with this is, but we're dumping it out into the ocean.
I wouldn't say that.
part of it has to do with the chlorination system and things. So we actually, the system is up and running for a period of time, and our license is for that period of time. If we had a customer during the winter, we would probably be able to modify our license and go year-round, but it costs money to generate it as reclaimed water as compared to sewage effluent. And I'm not the Raven. Fortunately for Raven, she had a great, fun personal event she's going to, so she's not here to answer the detailed aspects of that. But
the plumbing itself would be able to operate during the winter if you could use reclaimed water? I guess that's really my question.
Yeah, as long as it didn't freeze. Yeah, the plumbing. I mean, if you could use the reclaimed water, the plumbing could work. But we're not generating that water, and we're not licensed to do so. So it is closed for a reason that we can't immediately overcome. There are bathrooms that are open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Daily at this time of year in the port facilities. That's 725 feet walking distance. If you walk on the sidewalk, it's closer than that if you cut across the parking lot. So it's not an insurmountable distance. Now, if you have a three-year-old and they say, Mommy, I got to go potty, or Daddy, I got to go potty, 700 feet is a really long ways. So we understand that. We're going to come back to you and let you know what it would cost to have a porta potty there year-round, but that's not something we typically do. It's a fairly significant expense.
Well, I think there's an obvious need, and we'll hope that you'll get back to us with a report in short order.
We will. And I just wanted to let you know that that's essentially the gist of the email and the response that we'll provide.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is in a consent agenda. Approval of bills in the amount of $718,219.90. Approval of council minutes for November the 9th, 2015. Approval of a study session minutes for November the 16th, 2015. I would be willing to entertain a motion.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 5-0. Next item on our agenda is a public hearing. And the first public hearing will be on the 2016 property tax levy. And that is continued from our last meeting. And anyone that wishes to speak to this issue will be allowed 3 minutes. An additional 2 minutes of non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimonies have been heard. And do we anticipate any action being taken? Okay. So action will be taken at the end of the public hearing. Does anyone wish to speak to the issue of the 2016 property tax levy? Hopefully everybody in the audience knows what the 2016 property tax levy is. Okay. Hearing none, I'll bring the public hearing to a close. The next item for a public hearing is our 2016 budget, and that has been continued from our last meeting. Again, if anyone wishes to speak to this issue, you'll be allowed 3 minutes. Does anyone care to speak to the 2016 budget? If not, I will bring the public hearing. Are you going to continue that one? We will continue that to our next meeting, which will be December 14th. Okay, and that the 2016 budget public hearing will be continued to our December 14th meeting. Therefore, the next item on our agenda is our council action items. The first action item is going to be Ordinance 15-2871, the 2016 property tax levy.
Good evening, Council. So as you know, per state law, municipalities below a population of 10,000 is allowed to increase its highest lawful property tax levy by 1%. That's per year. And a 1% increase would generate approximately $10,000 in additional property tax revenue. So your options as a council. You can take no increase, or you can take the 1% increase to increase our city's highest lawful levy for 2016 by 1%. I would make a note that there is currently no banked capacity in the city's levy due to property tax refunds that I had presented on in the beginning of the property tax public hearing. So just so you understand that. So are there any questions on this ordinance?
Jeff?
Yes.
On the rest of that, it talks about new construction, that group of things. Does that 1% apply to that?
It does, yes. Yeah, so it would be the current property tax levy plus new construction plus any refunds, and then the 1% would be applied to those items.
Any further questions? Paul?
You mentioned that the bank capacity has been used to pay the refunds on some previous prior year property tax. Was the bank capacity sufficient to pay the entire refund?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other further questions? Okay, the recommendation from the staff is we have two options. Option one is to take no increase. Option two is to take the 1% increase. Would anyone?
I move we take the 1%.
Okay. Would you care to make that as a motion?
I so move.
Okay. There's a motion has been made to take the 1% increase. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second it.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Any other further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. The motion to take the 1% increase has been approved 5-0.
Thank you, Council.
The next item on our agenda, Council Actual Items, is the Collective Bargaining Agreement.
I would ask that the Council defer this until after the closed session this evening.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is going to be our commission, committee, and board reports. First, David, do you have any on the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee?
No report at this time.
Steve, on your two committees?
No report at this time.
Paul, on the WTA?
No report.
Dennis, on your two report, on two committees?
The library. Quite a few things going on.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jones, Planning Commission.
The only thing I would mention on the Planning Commission, sir, is that we, I believe we're going to have one opening on the commission. We have one person who is considering whether or not to ask for a renewal and another commissioner who has mentioned to me that they've had some scheduling commitments, and so we may likely have an opening. So you might, if you talk to folks who might be interested, you might let them know that. And then for the Park and Cemetery Board, I have nothing additional to report this evening.
Okay, Small Cities Caucus. There was a meeting, I think, last week. As you're all aware, the 2%, or the, excuse me, the sales tax increase for the jail was not approved. The county executive has informed the mayors from the small cities that a agreement regarding the jail is about to expire at the end of this year. and therefore a new agreement will have to be drawn up with all of the cities in Whatcom County. And as a result of not having a new jail, there will have to be some adjustments required. Mr. Lowes is recommending that we continue the present agreement for another 6 months until he has an opportunity to draft a new agreement for us. He's going to be meeting with the Small Cities Caucus in the next short little while, and we'll go over that in greater detail. Finance Committee. No report. Okay. Whatcom Council of Governments, no report. And Mr. Chief Hollander, who has given us a wonderful report.
Good evening, Council. I'm sharing with you a copy of our October Chief's Report for the district. Just point out a couple things. The graph on the top right-hand corner has an error in it. If you can look under September, we did have calls in September, although the graph shows there weren't any calls, but we all know we did. Secondly, I'll point out the amount of calls we're at so far this year, 3,222. It's substantially ahead of last year, 2,535. And again, that's mostly due, I think, to the hot summer. If you turn the page, you'll see in the city of Blaine, we responded 66 times in October and semi-AMU four calls. I'll let you read the operations report at your leisure, and also that we've done 196 business occupancy inspections so far this year in the city, so that's very positive. And then lastly, I've got a couple pictures on the back there of the fire I told you about at the last meeting. Yes. The FedEx TC Trading building. And we've decided not to put the $5 million of product that we saved in our statistics because it would really skew how much property value we saved this year. So it's not in the totals of property saved. It's just kind of specially noted that we have a $5 million save, kind of put that on the shelf. So.
Okay.
With that, if you have any other questions?
Questions for the chief.
Where does he serve coffee?
Where do
you serve coffee?
Where do we serve coffee?
Yeah, it says right in here that you're meeting with staff.
Coffee with the chief? Is that?
Yeah.
What the chief has started doing is once a month he'll go to one of our career stations and sit down and have coffee with the crews, and all the off-duty employees and staff are welcome to sit down and ask them any questions they want for as long as they want. The first one we had lasted about 2 hours. And so
sure,
it's a an effort to improve communications within the department. If you have any questions, you'd be more than welcome.
Be sure to inform him that Dennis is available.
I'll schedule it with Dennis.
If he needs to have someone have coffee with
coffee,
Dennis is available.
Let me know. I'm available for coffee. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, next item on the agenda is department reports. The first item up is Public Works. And Michael, are you going to cover for Raven on this one?
Yes, Raven has given me something and asked me to cover it with you. The first item is regarding the annual meeting with the Birch Bay Water and Sewer District. She has four potential dates, and she was hoping to get a volunteer or two who would be willing to attend. These are the dates: Thursday, December 10th at 9 a.m., Monday, the 14th at 1:30 p.m., Wednesday, the 16th at 9:30 a.m., and Friday the 18th at 9 a.m. She expects the meeting would be 2 hours or less.
And where?
That will probably be to be determined. She didn't give me that information. So I think what she would request is that any council members who are able to or interested in intending letting her know.
Okay.
I think that it appeared Mr. Hawkins might have been interested. I didn't think at the last council meeting he mentioned it.
I think I've been to him in the past. So,
yeah, so she would very.
I will let her know what date works for me.
And did everyone get those dates and times, or did you need me to
watch? I missed the 14th.
The 14th was at 1:30 p.m., so that's the only one in the afternoon.
9 a.m., 1:30, 9:30, and 9 o'clock.
That's correct, yes,
okay,
sir.
Thank you.
And then a couple other things, just real quickly. I only have her notes here on these, but the mailbox relocation issue, the city attorney has sent a letter regarding that, and she and the and John intend to follow up next week and continue to persevere on that effort.
Can I ask a question, and you may not know the answer to this. Are we dealing with the local post office?
Yes, I believe we're dealing with the local post office.
Is there somebody that they respond,
that they report to?
Report to?
I'm sure there must be the regional postmaster, and certainly there's the postmaster general that's appointed by the president.
Yeah, but I mean, there must be some local guy in Whatcom County that looks after all the post offices.
I don't know where the, you know, there may be an effort in Seattle.
We're just not getting any response from these locals.
Is this reported to someone locally? I don't know the name.
It would seem to me that we got to start kicking this up the ladder because...
That's where John's got involved.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we're getting any response out of these people locally.
And we can report that to her. What has been happening so far is it has been working with the postmaster here in the Blaine office, which is the person who was responsible. Actually, I do think it was a different person, but it was the position that was responsible for moving them.
Yeah. What a nightmare.
We unfortunately seem to change postmasters very frequently here. There's going to be a really interesting student presentation on a business case for passenger rail that is going to be at the Public Works Advisory Committee. It will be here in the council chambers on December 3rd at 10 a.m. Anyone is welcome to attend, even though it's the Public Works Advisory Committee. So, again, that's December 3rd at 10 a.m. here.
And what is the 3rd?
The 3rd would be Thursday. And it's a group of students from Western Washington University, one of the business and international business classes, did a program. I think they're master's students, not positive about that, but I'm sure it's going to be insightful. Now, it's not the rail study we've talked about, but it could be information that feeds into it.
Yeah. I'd love to be there, but I think I've got something on that day. Okay.
A couple of other things. Some FEMA disaster relief funding has been made available to us. They will help in paying for repairs to Well 9 and one of the blowers down at the wastewater treatment plant. That is as a result of the big windstorm back at the end of August. So that was countywide. There was enough damage that occurred that it triggered FEMA assistance. So we will be getting some help with that, which is nice. She sent you an email response related to the groundwater concerns that were triggered by a letter from some folks in Surrey related to a truck parking facility.
Yes.
I think she sent that just this evening, so you should have that in your emails. And generally, all of us wanted to make sure that you were aware of an Association of Washington City's elected officials webinar that is on the 5th. Of December, as if I haven't given you enough other things to do on different days. If you're free on the 5th, there's an AWC elected officials webinar.
And I would like to add to that the webinars are the closest one, I think, is going to be down around Arlington. I can verify that for you. But for anybody who hasn't actually done the AWC training, this would be a good thing to attend.
Steve?
I think maybe council members Lawrenson and Stewart.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody else might be interested.
Paul's been. You've been. Yeah, I've been too. Dennis
been
has
there,
been. Yeah, I've been there, done that. I think that. But I think every...
It's December 5th, and I will get you that information. I'll forward it to both of you.
Okay. And do you?
Since we're talking training, before I start talking about this report, there's also a short course on local planning, which is hosted by the Planning Association of Washington and the Department of Commerce. They do several of those each year. The closest one that looks like it's going to happen to near us in the next several months is in Coopville. So if anyone's interested in going to that in the beginning of December, let me know and I'll give you the specifics. What that talks about is Growth Management Act, primarily Planning Commission related kinds of things, but a lot of the stuff that gets turned over to you after they've done their work. So it's a really good overview for citizens or elected and appointed officials on planning in Washington State. And that's early December. I don't remember the date off the top of my head. But it is a long drive to Coopville.
Yep, yes, it is.
So yes, then on to actual community development. I am guilty of giving you the largest thing in your packet. In fact, yes. I think this is longer than everything else that was in your packet combined. Yes. And that was primarily because as I started to put this together for an upcoming ordinance, I realized when I gave you it all, it was going to be really a bit much to digest in one piece. So I wanted to provide this to you and, in support of an ordinance that will be coming forward on the 14th. And we'll just enter it into the record then, but you won't get another copy of all this information. What I'd like to do is give you a brief report on this. Most of these topics actually are really pretty straightforward. Some of it you've seen before or I've reported to you briefly on. But what I would like to know is if you have questions or topics you'd like us to be able to report back on the 14th, I would want to know that so that we're, because on the 14th I'm thinking I'm just going to give you an overview pretty quickly. Unless you let me know otherwise. So these are the 2015 annual comprehensive plan amendments. Short of an emergency situation, we're only allowed to update our comprehensive plan once a year. So we package them together and bring them forward. And so at the end of the year, typically, is when that happens. Oops. There are three annual amendments this year that have been prepared by the city and work their way through the Planning Commission. They're all in the West Blaine Semiahmoo area. One is the rescinding of the Cannery Hill and West Semiahmoo amendments to the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan. The other in that area is an amendment to the Sewer General Plan that I'll touch on in a moment. And then the final one is changes to the Seagrass Development Area. With Cannery Hill and West Semiahmoo, those were adopted well over a decade ago into the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan. They were approved as PUDs. They were approved as PUDs in the city and the county, but they were adopted into the master plan in the city. As a result, they don't expire. They just sit there in the master plan, and it's the vision for that development. Since then, the county's reduced our UGA. These areas are mostly outside, or at least 50% outside of the city limits. They can't be built, really, the way that they're shown in the master plan, which creates a conundrum. We tell people this is how you're supposed to plan, or this is how you're supposed to build, but yet you can't really do it. So we've already brought this forward to you much earlier in the year in Resolution 1665-15. So you had a chance to get all this information, go through all of this, and understand it at that point. Council passed that, conceptually adopting this. So unless you have questions on it, I'm just going to move past that one because you've had a chance to look at that. It does. Yes, sir.
When we talked about it earlier, my understanding was the areas we were talking about were completely outside of the current city. And what I heard you say now was that these areas are 50% outside of the city.
Yeah, they are not fully outside the city limits. If that was what I led you to believe at that time, that was an error.
Okay, so for the areas that are within the city, if we pass this, it doesn't go back to Semiahmoo Master Plan, it goes back to ground zero.
It goes back to the underlying zoning, and in conjunction with this, we would be adopting a set of design standards for that area. We worked with SRA and a committee that they had developed some design standards that would be required to be incorporated into each new master plan for those areas.
So the design standards would be consistent with the current semi-urban design standards?
Very much so, yeah. So that ultimately becomes a comprehensive plan amendment and a zoning text amendment together. I keep on using that mouse. The other one, same area is a sewer plan amendment. So our sewer general plan is adopted as a component of our comprehensive plan. It basically supports it demonstrates how we're able to support growth and development. And this particular sewer plan amendment is very particular in that it would allow service to one plat called the Ridge at Semiahmoo, which is 26 units. It's outside the city limits, but it was located in our UGA when it was applied for. and when the project was determined to be complete. So in Whatcom County, it's a vested 26-unit subdivision several hundred feet outside the city limits. It can't be annexed into the city because it's outside of our UGA. We are the closest sewer provider to that development. And the development has the option of either putting in a very, very large septic system that would serve 26 lots and dispose of the waste into the ground, or develop sewer service either from Birch Bay Water and Sewer District or from the city of Blaine. And we are like more than a mile closer than the Birch Bay system. So they have requested that we adopt an amendment to our general plan, which would also reflect a change in a map in our comprehensive plan, and I'll show you that here in a second. The property is located, located on the east side of Semiahmoo Drive, not Semiahmoo Parkway, but Semiahmoo Drive. And it doesn't show up, the highlighting doesn't show up very well, but it is located here.
That's unbuilt.
Sorry?
There's nothing built there.
There's nothing built there now, that's right, yeah. And then the sewer line would go up Semiahmoo Drive and connect into, at the end here in the Boundary Ridge subdivision, and then it would just go on its way down the hill and come over here and get treated. So that amendment would allow, or the amendment would set the stage to allow the creation of that sewer line and adding 26 customers to the wastewater treatment plant. We would adopt an amended map that looks like this, and you can see on that map a little service area right there. Interestingly, because our map is old enough and predates changes that were made to our UGA by the county several years ago, that whole area in green shows up as potential future service area, but we would be amending the map in conjunction with developing this plan to just show the smaller potential service area that is there. This is an interesting amendment. It tests the language of GMA to some degree. It's a very nuanced section where it talks about the city being the most appropriate entity to provide sewer service, but providing sewer service that facilitates new development outside of the UGA is not supposed to occur. However, this isn't facilitating the new development. The new development was already vested, and it was in the UGA at the time. There are a lot of complicated legal issues. We've consulted with John on this. He's been in quite a bit of contact with the applicant's attorney. They both presented some information to the Planning Commission, he's been engaged in it during the process. So if this is something that you'd like information on the 14th, I would need to know to make sure John's here. But it is an interesting thing. One of the other components to know that is important about this is if there is a GMA appeal on it, it will be up to the applicant to bear the cost of defending this, or, you know, I mean, it's just for 26 units, it's not worth it for us to, to go to court over it. It would really be them going to court over it, and we would be just participants.
Does the county know about this?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
This would not come as any great surprise.
It would not come as a surprise to them. However, I would say they're not highly supportive of it.
Okay.
So but it is not a surprise to them. Okay. If there were an appeal, I don't think it would come from Whatcom County. I haven't heard of anyone else, but the county, I don't think, would likely do that. It's an interesting situation. It's either 26 septic tanks or one giant septic tank for 26 people on the bluff over the top of the bay, or send it to a sewer treatment plant. It makes absolutely all the sense in the world to do this, but you know how sometimes laws are. They don't always make sense. So,
is there any history for having this, where this has been done before?
There are some cases where this has been done before, and there are some cases on both sides of the law. One particularly large program or project like this is, I believe it's called Bay Ridge. It's in Skagit County. If you've ever been out by the airport in Skagit County, where the port of Skagit has quite a bit of developed area, there's an elementary school up there. There's some neighborhoods up there. There's industrial development in the airport. That's all served by the city of Burlington, and the sewer line goes through about a mile of high of agricultural land of long-term significance. So it's never supposed to be developed, according to GMA, that agricultural land, and a sewer line goes a mile through it. So that's an instance where it's been demonstrated it apparently can be done. There have been there's at least one case that I'm aware of somewhere else where they said no, you can't do that. So it'll be interesting if it goes to court.
Michael, when was this pulled out of our UGA?
2009 is when they took that action, or shortly thereafter.
Before that was in, must have been in right when Semiema was done 25 years ago.
Yep, it was in. Well, there were UGAs then, but yeah. In 85, there weren't UGAs. They were established later, but it was in it when they were established. Yeah.
And you say this will go right along the road?
That would be what they would propose to do. They would put it in the right-of-way. They would need to get a franchise agreement. We are strongly advocating, and included in what we would be adopting would be that it would be a public sewer line. It would be built by the applicant. They would bear the cost of that, but it would be a public sewer line. The reason for that is then we have the ability to restrict people connecting to it, because that's a key component of this, is it can't facilitate new or more development. If it's a private line, if they start letting people connect to it, we can't really just shut it off at the end. So having control over the line is important. It would be a public line in the Whatcom County public right-of-way.
But there are other potential developments of it in that area.
There are other pieces of property that could potentially be developed in the future, but since they're not in a UGA, they're not vested for the development, for the density. They would have to come back into the UGA, and that could only occur if we had a lot of growth.
Yeah, that makes it an interesting.
So, but that's on top of the ridge where that line goes, so anything down below towards the water would have to be, somebody wanted to hook onto it anyway, they'd have to pump it back up to that line.
There would. There's a lot of development in that area, Normar Place and other streets that I don't know the name of down in that area. Let's say a group of septic systems failed out there, or individual septic systems failed, if you were on the west side of the road, you'd probably have to pump uphill into it. If you were on the east side of the road, you would gravity into the line. And the line actually looks like it would be engineered to gravity flow into the city system. If you're out there driving, it's hard to tell, but it actually probably would flow into the city system without a pump. Any more questions on that before I move to the next one? That's by far the most complicated, honestly, of these three. The seagrass development area is the next item. This would be to revise the resort Semiahmoo master plan. Again, another thing that's adopted as a component of our comprehensive plan. This would reduce the density from 68 units down to 62 units, not a very big change at all. That represents holding capacity for about 16 people. So as far as whether the city can change, reduce the number of units or grow the number of units, it's inconsequential in the city's overall population projections. It would also revise it to allow primarily duplex development. Fourplexes would change to duplexes under this plan. And it would primarily keep the resort Semiahmoo master plan accurate, and at the same time facilitate a planned unit development amendment that is proposed. It's been submitted to us, but it's not a complete application yet, so they're working on finishing that and getting it together. It'll probably early next year go forward. It would basically allow, if you've been out on the spit lately, it would allow more development like the unit that's being built out there now. There's a duplex being built out in Seagrass now. And the reason this is being done is primarily because when Seagrass was approved, it was very, very important to council, important to the commission and the community at large, that the master plan be updated to reflect what was really happening. And so we did that for the SPIT. In 2014, we adopted a master plan update that showed all the new information. And it basically inserted this image, which was the approved Seagrass image, and the unit count of 68 units, and the unit mix, and all of those things into the master plan. So being responsive to that, keeping it consistent, and actually respecting the master plan more thoroughly, When the applicant came in, I said, well, you have two choices. You can either update the master plan and have this, when we go to review it, have it make sense and have us all be able to say, yes, this fits the master plan. Or you cannot update the master plan and you can come in and say, this is close. It's almost that. It's substantially similar to it. And potentially get approved that way. They agreed that it made more sense to come in and update the master plan, so they submitted this comprehensive plan amendment. Those buildings there that are highlighted with the stars would all, those are all fourplexes in this plan, and they would become duplexes. That plan that we were just looking at, as you can see, is included in this image, which is used over and over again in the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan now. And also all the tables, all the square footages, number of units, things like that that relate to the SPIT shows seagrass at 68 units. So the changes would be primarily changing this image so that it reflects the actual duplex development that would be proposed, and also changing the text and tables so it shows 68 units. This is what they propose to construct. All of those units that you see there in white would be duplex units. And then there's one 16-plex that's approved, is proposed now. It's been approved in the PUD, and it would continue to be the proposal for that property. So it's not shown on this image because it's the thing that's not changing. All the white ones would become duplexes. So really, in the big scheme of things, very simple. It just requires jumping through some hoops here with comp plan amendment and then with the PUD amendment that you would see in the beginning of next year. So we propose to bring forward an ordinance on December 14th with the three of those. Before I go on, were there questions about the seagrass proposal?
Any changes in roads or sidewalks or trails? Or
the only change out there is probably that there will be better maintenance, because now it will be developed and there'll be homeowners and a homeowners association. They've actually joined SRA, which is a good thing. And so, there's no changes to the roads. There's no changes to the trails, the trail easements and things like that. It would all be the same. It's just the footprints of the buildings would change a little bit and the unit count would change a little bit.
Did it affect any of the landscaping at all? Or?
Not any of sort of what you might call like the public landscaped areas or the edge landscaping. So because the units change footprint a little bit, it obviously there'll be some areas landscaped that weren't before, but otherwise, no, nothing substantial.
Okay.
These would go into effect beginning of 2016. We would remove Cannery Hill and West Semiahmoo, revert to the underlying zoning, and adopt the design standards. The sewer general plan would change, and the map associated with it, and then the seagrass development area would change to that unit count. And I will bring an abbreviated packet to you on the 14th, the ordinance, and we'll refer to some of this information.
Is there any possibility we're ever going to get that stuff back in our UGA? It's craziness to divide that in half, where half the property is in City of Blaine and half is in the county.
Yeah, so there is probably no chance in the reasonably foreseeable future that we will expand our UGA in that area unless the city were to reduce its UGA or reduce its city limits elsewhere, or see a phenomenal growth pattern like a 10 or 15% annual growth, which is like off the charts.
But if we were able to reduce our UGA somewhere else, do you think there's a good possibility? I mean, that would seem to be a very logical way to increase our UGA. If we could reduce it somewhere else to get that back, because that whole area makes a lot more sense.
So the rough numbers are something like this. We have a 20-year planning period that we work with. The 2016 to 2036 planning period is what we're planning for now. We have capacity in our city limits and UGA for about 6,000 people. We forecasted a relatively aggressive growth rate of 2.9%, which would use up about 4,400 of those people. So we still have about 2,000 excess capacity, and that's after we take into account market factors on the order of 50% for some of the master plan areas, basically saying that it takes a long time to actualize some of these plans like Semiahmoo and Grandis Pond. So, I mean, we would literally have to reduce our capacity by 3,000 or 4,000 people, or consume, have that many people move here, 3,000 or 4,000 people, before that discussion becomes a real discussion. That's why I say probably not in the reasonably foreseeable future. The UGA was grossly oversized, is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. The argument I've always had is we lost some very valuable UGA because we have some UGA that's undeveloped, that is next to impossible for anybody to develop. And that's kind of always been my argument. I mean, it makes sense to have a bunch of stuff that's impossible to develop, and you give up a bunch of stuff that is developed.
Had it not been in our city limits, it could have been a negotiation, but unfortunately it's not just UGA, it's in the city limits.
I know, somebody needs to go and talk to the Growth Management Act people and say, you got to have some common sense applied to this stuff.
No comment.
Okay.
But I would ask that if you do have questions or want additional items touched on in a future report, to let me know. There's actually a representative from Seagrass here in the audience just listening in case you have questions related to that one. So they're happy to report at the next meeting if need be. So anything, or do we pretty well cover it?
I would like to comment that I certainly appreciate them joining the SRA. I think that'll be a major benefit to both them and to the rest of Simeon.
Yeah, I've been very supportive of that happening all along, and hopefully have helped to facilitate that a little bit, but obviously it ultimately comes down to it's a decision between the property owner and the association. So,
I
think it's a really good thing, too.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Chief Hessel, do you have anything for public safety?
Chief, I recorded on the John Urak email while you were out of the room earlier. Just so you know.
Thank you. I just wanted to make one note, and that's in regards to we received a complaint about a parking problem with the fire zone in front of the middle school. Chief Hollander has been assisting us with working on that problem, and we believe we've found a resolution. I'm meeting with the principals over there, the school principals, tomorrow, and then I need to talk with Raven about it briefly because it'll involve some striping change in a short space, but I think we have a resolution in case you hear something about it, or it is something that we're working on. And aside from that, I can hold off on everything else.
Is that related to the construction now?
No, this is it's in front of the middle school. They have that diagonal parking, and then there's a space where some parents, usually in the afternoon, will line up for 5 or 10 minutes while waiting for their youngsters to get out of class, because the only other place for them to park would be in the residential area on the north side of H Street, which would require their kids running back and forth across the street during that busy time. And there is some fire zone marking in that area, and it's been pointed out to us that someone who would rather not see cars parked or stopped there, even though they're occupied and whatnot. So we're working it out to come up with a reasonable solution that still protects all the pedestrians and children in the area. We've not had any complaints about the construction area. We monitor those school zones really carefully, and every time I see one of the construction drivers, his head's on a swivel, and they're minding their P's and Q's. That school, I think, has done a good job of setting that up and working closely with contractors. Anything else, folks?
Chief?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. City Manager, do we have anything that you'd like to add?
A few things.
Mayor. We're talking about the budget, of course. The Blaine Improvement Group really went to work this weekend. You notice the off-ramp at 275 both sides. The Blaine Community, the Blaine Improvement Group is also known as BIG. Has about nearly 40 members of the community went out with equipment and horsepower and enthusiasm, and they really did a fantastic job on both the off-ramp and on-ramps at that intersection on both sides of the freeway, and it was a great project. So we're looking forward to those gentlemen getting together again. We're starting to put together a list of projects.
Okay.
And so they're doing a good job. The Boys and Girls Club is just about done. We had planned the grand opening. They got some mix-ups on the schedule for a couple of the key people, so it's probably going to be first of the year, just through the holidays. But I'd like to get the council over there pretty soon to take a walk through, particularly Steve, you're on the committee there. So start scheduling that pretty soon. I was able to do it. Yes, sir.
There was a question I got asked today. Are they going to put pickle court markings in that room? In that pavilion?
When it's finished, it's going to have a full floor that has pickleball, foursquare, basketball, lines. Yeah, it's going to be a pretty nice facility. Boys and Girls Clubs, I mentioned that. AWC, I attended a regional meeting. I thought that was interesting down in Bellingham. A couple of council members attended as well. Lots of energy and time put into labor negotiations. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Attended an economic development forum down in Western last week. Members from Canada and the United States talking about what that economies are between the two nations. And one member from Canada described the border as a thick wall and very difficult to get businesses back and forth. There's just all kinds of obstacles and problems. Excuse me?
And we didn't have to wait for Mr. Trump.
No. So, you know, they're optimistic, but I guess the good news is that of all the Canadian issues that are going on, of course, there's politics changing as well as a weak dollar. The greater Vancouver area is still doing very well relative to the rest of the nation.
Yes.
So I was glad to hear about that. Michael talked about the students from Western doing some work for us. And then we've got some other follow-up items we'll work with the council on later. I'll take any directions or questions.
Questions?
We're all also open to meet with council members on the budget. We've already talked to Member Stewart about that. We're able to talk to all of you individually or together. And we're planning for our next meeting soon. So thank you.
Okay. Now, we've got our calendars there. And then the next item is any unfinished business.
That calendar, that'll be the Monday, the 14th, will be a 5 o'clock meeting. Is that right?
14th will become a...
Will we continue the budget study session on the 14th? So I added to the calendar for tonight the December 7th meeting.
Yes.
And also the December 3rd Public Works Advisory Committee meeting in here regarding the business case for rail for the city of Blaine.
Any unfinished business? I guess the one piece of unfinished business I had was the continuing duck hunters.
I heard him the other day.
Okay. Well, they're out at it very early in the morning. I guess I'm not really too upset if it's in the afternoon, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's a little early. I know it's a little early. Any council new business? If none, we'll go into an executive session. This is going to be at approximately, it's going to be at 7:19 to discuss collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 42 period 30 period 140 4 in brackets and sale of property pursuant to RCW 42 period 30 period 110 1 in brackets C in brackets. And how long do we anticipate being out?
45 minutes. And there will be action.
And there will be action, and that will bring back the council action item collective bargaining agreement. Okay. Anyone in the audience is welcome to stay. We expect to be gone for about 45 minutes, and we'll be back at that time.